How's the Tice course going? Asking the mentors. Do they know what's going on? Are they able to be aware? Separate the aggregates? No, not really. I'm not really sure. Because most of the Thai course is doing okay, but they don't have much power. They have to keep learning, keep practicing, and one day they'll be strong enough. And now our course, he's asking Ajahn Prasad about it. He's speaking like an ambassador. Our course have learned too many things in the past, and it's interfering. He's saying this, there's too much tea in the teacup already, and so what's being poured in now is spilling over. If we have to take a look, if we've been practicing for a while and we haven't been developing and progressing in the way that the Buddha said we should, then we have to try something new. Morality, the true type of morality, is something extremely important. This type of morality is when the senses make contact with the world, we have mindfulness that sees what happens in our heart as a result. Defilements will arise after we've made sense contact, like when we see a beautiful thing and we have a desire come up, or craving, or we hear something that's annoying, then the annoyance or anger will come up. So the defilements come up after our senses make contact with the world. We have to see those defilements. If we can see those defilements with mindfulness, then the defilement will disappear, because there are opposites. It's impossible for there to be a defilement in the mind when there is mindfulness, and vice versa. The human mind is one that has morality and is bright in its own right. But what happens is it becomes overtaken by defilement. See, when we see something, whether we're gonna feel good about what we see or feel bad about what we see, we can't control. And so what happens without mindfulness is then however we feel then comes in and takes over, manipulates our mind. Can't we feel that when strong anger comes into our heart, that we feel that we're not our normal self? It's because we've left the simple, ordinary state of a human being, and we've been taken over, we've been manipulated by defilement. When people have a lot of sexual feelings, can you notice that you've left the normal, ordinary state of a human being? There's a feeling that has totally taken over, and then there's an obsession that comes up. And that's when danger happens. People fight animals. When that happens, certainly they fight to the death so that they can be the victor and be the one with the sexual transmission. So what ends up happening is we end up becoming ghosts and animals and things like that, and hell beings when the defilements manipulate our mind. What is the normal, natural state of humanity is actually nice and bright, but we end up tarnished by the defilements that come in temporarily. They come temporarily, and so the mind is tarnished or manipulated whenever that happens. Those no samadhi, no sati. So one thing we have to be careful of is the words that the natural, normal state of the human mind is a bright one and clear one. However, it isn't a pure one, right? Clear can still not be pure. We may see it as clear, but it isn't pure. There's still disease in there, hiding in there. But just having this normal, ordinary, moral mind, which is the proper, natural human mind, is what's required as a first step so that we can develop from there. So we need to have that normal, natural mind, which is a moral mind. And that's the first training in Buddhism, training in morality. The second is mental training, helping the mind to have proper energy and having the proper poise, the proper quality in order to practice wisdom afterward. It's not smart to just try to be peaceful all the time and not see how everything is a cause and effect in Buddhism. We want nirvana, we want to end suffering completely. In order to have that purity, we need to have wisdom. In order to have that wisdom, we have to see the truth of the things the way that they are. In order to see the truth of the way things are, we have to have a mind with the proper samadhi in order to be able to see this. And how are we ever going to get to this samadhi? We have to at least have a clear and bright, proper, moral human mind. You see? So it's all in an order of causes and effects. So let's be proper human beings and then learn mental training. There are two types of mental training. One is in order to give the mind a rest, a place of peace. What is the purpose of that? Going into a state of samatha, we get a rest for the mind. But once we're able to do that, we don't rest our whole lives. We then come out and go to work after we've had a rest. Then what we do is we learn how to have the correct samadhi that is able to be the observer of phenomena so that we can see all the phenomena demonstrate themselves in the way that they really are. So we withdraw or release the mind from being stuck in phenomena and be able to see them. We'll see mental and physical phenomena, but if we are stuck in the phenomena, we won't be able to see them clearly. But if we can have a poise that is able to see them moving by without being stuck in the phenomena, then we have that outside observer perspective. It's sort of like at businesses, often we hire an external consultant, outsource a consultant to come and give advice to the company. Of course, everybody in the company, they understand more about the company than the consultant does. But the consultant has this special thing. This consultant is able to see from an external perspective, from a bird's eye view, what is going on in the company and see how to fix it. So we need to have this, we need to be able to practice to have this mind that is able to separate from the phenomena, and then it'll be able to see the body and mind as they are. So there are these two different types of mental training. One is to practice to be peaceful for a rest so that we can go to work, and the other is to prepare the mind for the work where we become the stable observer of mental and physical phenomena as an outsider. This is absolutely necessary. Things that are useful and things that are necessary or essential are two different degrees of importance. The second type of samadhi is essential for wisdom practice, for Buddhist practice. The first type of making the mind comfortable and peaceful is useful. It's sort of like if we're going on vacation somewhere far away, the people that don't have this samatha, this first type of samadhi practice, they just have to keep walking and keep walking and keep going, trying to get to their destination. They get really tired, they get hot, they get low on energy, but they slowly do make it there. The people who are able to really give their mind a good rest with the first type of samadhi, they can go to the destination, but they get to go in a nice fancy car, they get to take rests at nice hotels. They're happily making it to their destination while the others make it in a more difficult way. The problem is, those who have the first type of samadhi, they get there more easily, more comfortably, if they know the proper principles. But the second type of samadhi is the absolutely vital, essential type of samadhi. The other one is useful, but isn't essential. So it's a different degree of importance. So if we're only going to do one type of samadhi, do the second time. If we can do both, if we're actually able to practice jhanas, then wonderful, do both. But it doesn't matter how wonderful we are at making the mind peaceful and in the jhanas, if we're not able to arrive at that second type of samadhi, we can practice for till the end of time, and we will never get anywhere in Buddhism. So the way to do the first type of samadhi, Lungpa knows very well. He practiced it for 22 years before he learned wisdom practice. The secret to practicing for the mind to get peaceful is we have to first know why it is that the mind is not peaceful. And the reason it's not peaceful is because the mind is running around from here to there to try to be happy. It'll move to here and, I want to watch this movie, watch this video, I'll be happy. And then we watch it for a while and it doesn't create happiness for long. We have to then go find, maybe I'll eat this or that and that'll make it better. Then the next thing will happen, maybe I'll talk to this or that friend and that'll make it better. It's a restless mind that is seeking desperately for happiness and not finding it. Trying to find it through the sense doors. The way to find a place of peace so that we can practice the first type of samadhi is we have to find an object that the mind is happy to be with. When the mind is happy, then it's willing to stay in the place that it is for a while. For Lungpa, it was the breath. The breath made himself feel very happy. So he practiced it, and the mind will stay with the breath because it was happy there. So if we practice watching the breath and we feel uncomfortable or restricted, the mind is going to be trying to find some happiness somewhere else. It'll go into thoughts, it'll go think of something else better to do. So we have to lure the mind by finding an object it likes. So whoever likes Budo, if the mind likes that, then be with it. If the mind likes the rising and falling of the abdomen, then do that. Others like walking, then do the walking meditation. Find what makes you happy. That's the first secret. Find the right object. But there's a condition there. The condition is we have to find an object that is wholesome, not breaking any precept. For example, if we're happy when we're yelling at somebody, that's not going to work. So we have to pick something that matches our personality, but yet is also wholesome or neutral, nothing that's causing any harm. If it causes harm, there'll be too many defilements. We won't be peaceful. It's like if we have a naughty child running around here and there, if we find the dessert that the kid likes, it can lure, it can tempt the kid to just stay and be a good boy or girl by sitting there and eating its favorite treat. So we have to pick the object that helps us, the object that makes us feel happy with it. The second secret is the mind that then approaches this object to be with it has to also be a mind that is happy. Otherwise, we're going to squeeze and hold the object in a stressed way. Right, so there's no chance of getting any good state of samadhi if we're doing something like that, holding tightly to the object. We have to have the right attitude towards the object. We have to be happy and content and comfortable and relaxed in watching it. So we're not controlling the mind. If we control the mind and try to hold it, please be peaceful, come on, get peaceful. There's no chance to be peaceful. Another way is trying to soften the mind, trying to put it in a quiet state. You see what happens? We end up falling asleep. We end up putting ourselves in a low energy place. Right? So we don't want to be too tight. We don't want to be too loose. The mind is in a comfortable place when it's moral. Maybe practice to give a nice smile. Nice smile so that the heart opens up. You see, some people make fake smiles, but their heart isn't smiling. It's sort of like the Thai Airways air hostesses. Right? We need to smile in such a way that the heart relaxes and feels good. And then once we have that quality of mind, then we bring it to an object that we're happy with. But we don't bring it there in order to get enamored by the object and lost in how nice it feels. We don't do that either. So if a happy mind approaches a happy object, then there's the attraction is there and peace can be arrived at. But if we're trying too hard, we're greedy. We have too much craving. The mind is not a proper moral human mind. It won't work. Some people are stressed and they just puto budo 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 with a stressed mind. We won't get anywhere that way. Or going too slow with a mantra, putting ourselves to sleep, lulling ourselves like a lullaby. Let's practice smiling. Let's smile and smile until the mind really relaxes. The heart has to feel happy. Then we can see the body breathing. Let's try. Why use the breath? It's a very neutral object. It's one that most personality types can practice. If we're those who like to anger, if we're those who like to be deluded or greedy, using the breath helps all of these things. Unless we're too stubborn. If we're too stubborn, nothing helps. So let's take a smile, a nice, big, beautiful smile. No stress in the smile. Nice, sweet, sweet smile. I don't want to see angry teeth. Not dull. Let's relax. Smile and relax. And then see the body breathing with a relaxed mind. Not just watching the breath, but see the body breathing. Most people hold their attention, focus in on the breath only. What'll end up happening is we can move towards bright lights and colors, and then we go to play. But if we want a type of meditation that's going to be conducive to wisdom in the future, to be able to continue from there, we don't want to get lost in playing with these things. And we just want to watch the whole body breathing in a relaxed way. Let's gradually practice this. And we'll be able to immediately move into the second type of samadhi from here. Right? If we pick the wrong types of objects, then it's going to be hard to go anywhere, to progress from there. For example, some people just stare at a fire until their mind disappears out at the fire. Well, how are we going to learn the truth of the body and mind if we're way out there? So instead, let's watch something like the body breathing in a happy and content way, not controlling the mind to be peaceful. Let's not care if the mind's going to be peaceful or not going to be peaceful. Who cares? That's not our business. Let's listen to the gong. It's taken a long time to do this here. The intervals are too long. See? We're feeling a little happier now. See the body breathing with this happy mind. Just be comfortable. And now, from there, we work on achieving the second type of samadhi. Can we see that the body is breathing and the mind is the one that is observing this? We can practice in this way. Let's keep watching as the mind is the observer. But soon, the mind will go off and think about something else. Let's know that the mind wandered off. Another thing that can happen is we might notice that the mind slips down or slides down towards the breath. Let's know and see the mind that moves down. The mind will become the stable observer. Some people, all they have to do is watch the breath as a separate observer, and the stable observer arises automatically. But for those who aren't able to do that, the way to do it is to watch the mind that forgets about the body. Think about something else, we wander off, and we know it. Wanders off again, and we know it. Until it does it so quickly and so easily. In fact, we don't even need to intend to see the mind move off. After a while, we'll be able to see it by ourselves. The mind will see it automatically on its own when the mind wanders off to thought. The mind will be the stable observer. So let's practice in this way. The other way to achieve the second type of samadhi is through practicing jhanas. This is too hard for us. This will happen when we watch the breath until the breath disappears at the tip of the nose and changes into light. We can control this light and make it big or small. but we won't enlighten from here if we control the light. But when we see the light without the light, without any concentration leaving the light is, the mind is one. The mind is one, the light is one. Then we enter jhana from there. In the second jhana, the light becomes less, loses its importance, and then there's just the knowing. The mind moves to the knowing aspect rather than the light, and then there's a very powerful knower. All, and this knower remains all the way up to the eighth jhana, where the knower is very subtle but is still there. When we come out of this jhana, we will have the watcher or the stable observer for up to 7 days. It's very powerful. So it's, we practice breathing the light, breathing until the light appears. So for those who are interested in access concentration, if we have light in front of our nose, that's not quite it yet. We have to be able to be so still with the light that we can control it, make it big, make it small, for it to be access concentration. But if we can't do this stuff, which most of us can't, then instead, let's see the mind moving out to thought and see the mind moving down to slip into the meditation object. Then just sitting and breathing, we can achieve the stable observer. So there's nothing free in this world. We have to practice in order to achieve it. So let's see the mind. Let's start by practicing samadhi of the first type to give the mind a nice place of relaxation with an object that it likes and is happy with a mind that is comfortable. So we just concentrate on the one object. That's the first type. For the second type, our focus is knowing the mind that moves, not the object anymore. The object becomes something to just gauge the mind from. The first type of samadhi, one object, staying with one mind. The second type of samadhi, there's one mind, and there can be millions of objects. The objects are coming and going, but there's one mind that is the stable observer of all of this. This is the important type. There can be any amount of physical and mental phenomena that pass by, but there's one mind. So let's practice. Let's keep listening and learning. So keep practicing, keep listening, and keep at it. We don't want any type of samadhi that has no mindfulness. Any type of samadhi that is stressed, we don't want either. Keep it relaxed, keep knowing, keep being aware. There aren't very many students of his that can practice jhana, maybe only one or two. Monnut is one that plays with lots of toys. He has many abilities and maybe plays with too many toys out there in the meditation land. And just being able to achieve the stable observer is all that's required from the meditations, even though people can do a whole wide range of things. There's only one, this one aspect that's truly important for enlightenment. So remember that one essential factor. Listening just once is difficult, not easy to understand, especially for those of us that have practiced this and practiced that and read this and read that. It becomes very difficult. For Longpa, it just takes one blink of an eye to enter samadhi. Then come out of samadhi, see the body breathing as one thing. The mind that observes is another thing. This is the stable observer. It comes from becoming an expert from practicing. Whatever we do at the beginning is hard. Anybody here ride a bicycle before? At the beginning, it's hard to do, right? But if we practice every day, we become so good at it after a while. We can even don't even need to use our hands. We can bike without our hands. We can become such an expert. So practicing at the beginning, meditation and Dhamma at the beginning, it's, you know, we're not doing so well. But after a while, we become experts. But let's get that stable observer, the most important thing. There are a lot of things to learn about samadhi, but he's giving us the important essentials. Time to eat.